Alright, what's going on, everyone? Panos Mavridis of Puck Empire here, joined by Taranjo Vinning of Straight Outta Calgary and Kevin Caccilli. So since the last podcast episode, we've gone through 220 plus signings of free agency, nuts, over like a ton of money spent. A lot of bad contracts, a lot of good contracts, and we're just going to review everything that's happened in the last week since the draft. So Taranjo, let's start her off here. What are we talking about?
Yeah, free agency. We all know how big it was. In the first 12 hours of signing season, $829 million was committed to UFAs, RFAs, and extensions. So that's pretty big. And let's get started. Obviously, the big name free agent for this free agency class of 2022 was former Flame Johnny Gaudreau, who is now with the Columbus Blue Jackets. How do we feel about this deal, kids?
Well, I don't know if I ever mentioned in my intro, but just like Jote, I'm also a Flames fan. And I've personally gone through every fucking stage of grief, every single one. It was, I wouldn't say I was shocked to see he was testing the market, but I was a little like, wow, like, this is actually happening. And then when I saw he went to Columbus, that's when I was officially in stage one, which is a denial. I was shocked, like, why is he choosing Columbus? He said he wanted to go home, and me in denial, I was like, that's not even that close, but in reality it is. Then it moved on to stage two, when he said those interview comments in the Columbus presser. That's when I got kind of angry. But then he kind of cleared the air on the Tim and Sid interview, and it seems like
yesterday.
It was a genuinely hard decision for him, so I've accepted it. And great signing for Columbus. I hope he does really well there.
How do you feel, Panos?
I knew there was going to be a mystery team in on Gaudreau, because there always is a mystery team on the big signings. But I didn't think it would be Columbus, that's for sure. I didn't think they were going to go all in. But I thought it was going to be Carolina. But Columbus is a good spot for him, I guess, because he's got Patrick Laine if he ends up staying, which is he's one of the top goal scorers in the league if he's actually trying and he has a player to play with.
Yeah.
So that's a good spot, I guess. I was still kind of shocked he didn't choose New Jersey, but he did say that he didn't want to be like too close to family. Like he said, it gives enough separation where they're close to the family, but it's not like you're right next to them and they're coming in like every day. So I mean, that kind of makes sense, I guess. I think that Calgary is still going to be good next year, just because the fact that they have one of the better coaches in the league in Daryl Sutter. Like he's a really good coach. But it's definitely hurts to lose Johnny Gaudreau. But I think in the long term, this will be good for Calgary, just because of the fact that I don't think Gaudreau is going to be worth the $10.5 million a year they were going to give him in the second half of that contract. Like he's worth it right now. I don't think he's going to be worth it by like 2026 or 2025, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much agreed on that point as well. But if we look at what he did with the Flames and his impact on that team for the last eight years, I still think that hole, they can't really fill it ever. I don't think it's ever going to be filled. They have to fill it somehow by committee with the players they have right now, because if we look at the free agency market, there's nothing left. So I think players like Tkachuk, Mangiapane, they have to take on bigger roles and show their leadership, because even Tkachuk right now, he's a RFA. And is he really willing to take a long-term deal in Calgary after the fact that Gaudreau, his line mate, left for pretty much nothing? Does he think the Flames have the future to take him to the Stanley Cup playoffs consistently and actually contend for years to come? So that's the biggest question mark for the Flames right now. I do know that's their number one focus right now, Matthew Tkachuk. So I do think the Gaudreau signing did catch a lot of the fan base, not just Calgary, but the entire NHL off guard, because he wanted to go home. Like, obviously, we all know Philly was his number one choice all along. It always will be, and it always was. But Philly didn't and wasn't able to clear the cap space. Obviously, they signed Tony DeAngelo to that deal. And then obviously they couldn't do much. They couldn't trade JVR's contract, so their that window closed. And then there was obviously New Jersey, the Islanders, and then Columbus out of nowhere. So I still think it is kind of a dumbfounding decision, but for the family standpoint, that Gaudreau starting a young family, a kid on the way, I think it's a nice decision as he's going back to the U.S., closer to family, so he doesn't have to deal with all of that. So there's my viewpoint of that. I was salty at first, like most of the sea of red, but I've kind of cooled down after the Tim and Friends interview yesterday.
So, yeah, for sure. And yeah. There's also been, it's been put out on Twitter that Columbus apparently has really good medicine job yeah. opportunities. And as some of you might not be aware of, but Johnny Gaudreau's wife is a nurse, and yeah. there's going to be lots of good job opportunities there for her. So it's a very understandable and respectable decision for Gaudreau to go to Columbus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with that, Johnny Gaudreau off to the Columbus Blue Jackets out of nowhere. And then obviously there were other big signings on free agency day, like the goalie market took a shake. Obviously Jack Campbell going to Edmonton, 5x5, and then Darcy Kemper off to Washington. Let's start off with Jack Campbell. What do you guys think of the deal, 5x5 to Edmonton?
Let's see. Connor, take it away.
I'm not a fan of it, but at the same time, I know they had to do it, right? Like, you yeah. can't go into the season with Stuart Skinner as your starting goaltender with Mike Smith basically retired. Like, you can't do that if you're Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Jack Campbell's a good goalie. I don't think he's even worth $5 million right now, and I don't think he's
going to. 100%.
Yeah, he's just not. He's got the injury-prone thing. He's played, I think I saw two seasons in his career with over 32 games played.
Oh my god.
And one of them was this past year where he wasn't very good. The other one was in LA when he was really good as a backup, but this year was the other one and he was not good at all. So he's more of a tandem guy. He's not a starter guy. I see people saying, why wouldn't they keep Jack Campbell if he's just making $400K more than Murray? Well, Murray's on a 2-year deal. Whereas Campbell is signed for 5 years. So if Murray sucks, you can trade him in this offseason, like the upcoming offseason, and then you're good and you can get rid of that contract. You're not going to get rid of Campbell with 4 years left on $5 million. Like, it's just not going to happen. So I understand why Toronto went that way too. And I understand also why Edmonton did sign Campbell though, because they needed a goalie to fill the slot.
Sorry, Panos, can you say, repeat what his highest game in a season that he's played?
His highest game in a season?
It's not pretty. Yeah. Well, how many games? Yeah.
This year he played a decent amount, right?
But whoa. Hold up. Breaking news. I didn't mean to interrupt you guys, but now, as we record, Jeff Petrie will be traded to Pittsburgh as Panos.
Oh, Panos called that.
Yeah, he called that.
Called it in the group chat, eh?
Yeah. So Jeff Petrie off to Pittsburgh. Panos, I think you're going to have to post that, but... Back to the discussion, Kevin. I'll let you weigh in on the Campbell deal.
Yeah, sorry, I don't remember how many games he's played in the season. Well, the most that he's played in the season before this year
is probably like a
32 with LA.
32. Oh, okay, so that's funny. Tweet that I'm seeing by at mostly Leafies. In the last 29 games of this last regular season, Jack Campbell had a .895 and saved negative 21.74 goals above expected. So,
oh god,
that's scary. 5 years, $5 million for that is scary.
Yeah,
not a fan of that contract. I've already stated my stance on goalies. I think handing out contracts to these goalies is just so stupid, like Kemper and Husso and Campbell. I just do not agree with it. I like the route Toronto went with this.
Yeah, obviously, I don't know what. I wouldn't really say I don't know what Edmonton is doing. It's very clear what they're trying to do. They're trying to keep it stable at the back end. But is Jack Campbell really the answer to keeping things stable? Because if you look at their defense, they haven't, like, obviously they got Kulak back, which we will dive into. But I still don't think that defense is as strong as any other contender out there. Like, if you look, I'm not going to compare them to, obviously, the Avalanche, but... Even if you look at, like, Tampa, like, is their defense even at the same caliber? Or like, obviously you need a good defense in front of the goalie, but is Campbell really going to get that in Edmonton? I don't think so. Obviously, they don't really, like, Stuart Skinner as a backup, I don't really think it, let's just say Campbell goes down with an injury for more than 15 or 20 plus games. Is Stuart Skinner really the answer at the back end? Like, obviously, they got Calvin Pickard as well, but is he, are those two really the answer for backups behind Campbell, sorry? Like, I still think Edmonton was better off running a 1A, 1B type tandem instead of signing a starter like Campbell. So, yeah, Jack Campbell off to Edmonton. And then, obviously, we talked about Darcy Kemper. Goes from the Stanley Cup champion Colorado Avalanche to now the Washington Capitals. Kevin, I'll let you dive into that since you love goalie so much.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned it a few minutes ago, but yep. It's just a risky deal. Even with I had the same opinion with the Markstrom contract, right? 2 years ago. It's just, I don't trust signing goalies for that long because goalies usually don't string together like three good seasons in a row. It's rare for that to happen. So I think committing to a goalie on such a big deal, I just don't like it. I just really don't like it. They're too voodoo for me to agree with committing to them with such a big contract.
Yeah, that contract for Darcy Kemper was actually pretty large as well. I still think even as Washington letting go of Ilya Samsonov, and now he's signed with Toronto. But I think Kemper is a solid answer for filling in that role. But I just don't know what they get for a 5-year deal at $26.25 million. I still think you saw what happened in the playoffs. Like, obviously, not gonna blame his performance in the playoffs was decent, not as good as people thought it would be, but behind a team like the Colorado Avalanche, it's pretty easy to get help from guys like Cale Makar, Nathan MacKinnon, Landeskog, even Kadri, who's now a free agent. I still think his play was overshadowed by how good of a team Colorado was. Panos, what about you? Let's hear it. Kemper contract.
I didn't like it at all. I already said that, but I think Kemper is how old now? He's
32 or something.
Yeah, he's 32. Like, yeah, 32.
So you're signing Kemper, who's 32 now. He's gonna be 37 or 38 in the contract. Yeah, which is nuts. But at the same time, it's the same kind of situation as Edmonton. Like, you need a goalie to go forward if you're Washington, right?
Yeah.
Because Samsonov and Vanacek was a really, really, really bad tandem. Like, it wasn't good, and that was probably the reason they were so mid last year. Honestly, like, they weren't good. They need a guy. Kemper was really good in the regular season. I mean, you could say that his poor playoff performance was because of his eye injury.
Yeah.
That he struggled with all throughout the postseason. So I guess we'll see there. I think that Washington needed to do it as well, though, just like Edmonton did with Jack Campbell, because they weren't going anywhere with their current tandem. I thought the more weird thing was signing Charlie Lindgren to be the backup for 3 years. that was more weird to me than the Kemper signing, to be honest.
Yeah, that was pretty weird. Obviously, Washington in a position that they're in with Nick Backstrom being on the LTIR, might even retire. We don't know. Obviously, it is like, obviously, Washington had to fill that role with someone. But is Kemper, like, Kemper will be the answer, but at 5 years, I don't really think so. And then, obviously, another goalie that came off, like, it wasn't really signing at all, but if you look at the trade market as well, Cam Talbot and going to Ottawa after the Minnesota Wild re-signed MAF, Marc-Andre Fleury. How do we feel about that? Cam Talbot off to Ottawa for Philip Gustavsson. The trade is 1-for-1. Kevin, I'll let you go first.
I don't really know, to be honest. I think it's a good deal for Ottawa. Not sure how I feel about it for Minnesota, because I don't know how I feel about Marc-Andre Fleury being a starting goaltender again, and if he's going to pull it together for an entire season. As for Ottawa's side, I think he's a perfectly acceptable tandem goalie.
With Anton Forsberg.
Yeah, with Anton Forsberg. So I like that for them. I think my last thought here was, sorry, I'm just trying to remember. Oh yeah, the cap hit. They do save some money going from Murray to Talbot. So
yeah,
all around, it's not too bad for Ottawa. Not sure how I feel for Minnesota.
Yeah. What about you, Panos? I know you're the Murray fan here, so let's hear it.
We kind of skipped over the Murray trade too, eh? But yeah, but whatever. I mean, we can't be disrespecting him like that. But I thought it was a good trade for Ottawa. It was kind of a pointless trade for Minnesota, but at the same time, I think Talbot didn't even want to be there anymore if he was just going to be the backup, and they weren't going to give him an extension and a raise, which is what he wanted. He wanted to stay in Minnesota, but he wanted a raise on his new extension, which I guess Minnesota didn't want to do because they don't have the money. But yeah, I don't think Ottawa fans realize that Talbot's not going to be your starting goaltender. Like he's not going to play 55 games and win you like gap 920 save percentage on it. He's going to be a tandem guy with Forsberg. So
yeah,
that's all right in that sense. And then for Minnesota, I mean, Fleury's going to be your full-on starter for this season. Like Philip Gustafson's not going to play the tandem role. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, it'd kind of be funny if Fleury lost his starting job on a fourth team now or whatever. To Philip Gustafson, that'd be kind of funny. But, you know, we'll see what happens there.
I say it happens. That's my take.
Yeah, like even from a Minnesota standpoint, obviously signing Fleury again and Talbot not willing to run a tandem again. They traded Kaapo Kakkonen to, I forgot his name, first name. Yeah. He's off to, they traded him at the trade deadline to San Jose for Jacob Middleton. Obviously if they, in hindsight, if they had kept Kakkonen now that Talbot's gone, I think that would have been a much reasonable one-two punch, instead of Gustafson and Fleury. We'll just have to wait and watch, cause Fleury, we all know he is, a regular season merchant. Past experience with like Pittsburgh, Vegas, and then once he gets into the playoffs, he does go on the downfall a little bit. Obviously, people are going to be like, "Oh, he has the three cups with Pittsburgh. You can't say this. You can't do that." Two of the cups were with Matt Murray, in case you forgot. And then the first cup, obviously, that was when he was just in the league, and the Penguins had no other answer. So since then, Fleury has not been a reasonable goalie in the playoffs. So if you're Minnesota, I don't really think he's the answer for the starting goaltending job, but we'll have to wait and see, as all goalies are voodoo. They have one good season, and the next season they're trash again. So we're just going to have to wait and watch. So stuff like that, even we talked about it on the last episode, Georgiev off to Colorado, Ville Husso to Detroit. He obviously signed that deal in Detroit again, Detroit, after being shipped off from St. Louis.
Oh, so, I want to point out something here. I got to talk about my boy Matt Murray for a second here. Okay? I got to talk about my boy. I did not like the disrespect that TSN was giving the Murray Ilya Samsonov tandem. Oh, they were saying that's the worst tandem in Canada by far. Craig Button, bro, he said it. He trusts Jake Allen and Samuel Montembeau more than Matt Murray and Ilya Samsonov. Like, what?
That's a tough take.
On about?
Yeah. I mean, Craig Button, if you do look at his track record, he's the guy that cut Martin St. Louis from the Flames. Yeah, he traded J.S. Jaguar for practically nothing, and he traded Mark Savard from the Flames. So that's the last person that has anything to say about any signings at all when he didn't do jack shit as a GM. So I don't know what he's talking about, but even TSN had, like, they had no clue what they were talking about in free agency frenzy that day. They were just ripping apart Kyle Dubas for doing that, even though, like, what was Campbell going to do with that team? They're like, oh, Edmonton signed Campbell for $5 million. How couldn't have Toronto done that, this and that? Like, I don't know. TSN can be mind-boggling at times, even though some people like to call them the Toronto Sports Network. They weren't that on Wednesday, so yeah, there's that.
I just don't get, like okay, I understand the people being scared about Matt Murray's injury and health and stuff, but people acting like he's like complete trash. Like, let's simmer it down a bit. Jack Campbell had a 914 on Toronto behind a top team in the league in Toronto. Matt Murray had a 906 and he had a 918 before that blowout game against Arizona where he got hurt during the game. He had a 918 going into that game, I'm pretty sure. So Jack Campbell had a 914 in Toronto. And Jack Campbell is not like the pinnacle of health either. Like, he's only played one game over 32 games or one season over 32 games. He's not like some healthy guy who's going to play 50 games a year either. So if Matt Murray stays healthy, he's not going to be like an AHL guy putting below a 900 on Toronto. Like, and I know if he ends up doing that, people are going to get this clip and they're going to use it as a meme, but I don't think that's possible.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you can go ahead. Kevin, go ahead.
Yeah. So sorry, I was just interrupting there because it's just in the return for Jeff Petrie. So Jeff Petrie and Ryan Poehling are heading to the Pens, and going back is Mike Matheson and a draft pick. How do we feel about that?
Oh God, Pittsburgh, what are you doing, Ron Hextall? how can you trade Mike Matheson for Jeff Petrie, even though you do get Ryan Poehling back? Alongside Jeff Petrie, like, what is Ryan Poehling? Like, the dude's not gonna pan out at all. Go ahead. Yeah, I still don't think, like, he's still young, of course, but I still don't think that's a piece you'd want back as much as, like, I don't know. Ron Hextall is a weird GM. Obviously, you see what he did with Evgeny Malkin. We'll get into that later. Yeah, Panos, how do you feel?
I'm in the middle of post right now, but I'll just give some thoughts. I honestly don't think it's a terrible trade for the Penguins, but the thing is, if Petrie plays how he did last season, it's a terrible trade for the Penguins because he was terrible. But he didn't want to be in Canada because of the COVID stuff, and his family was living in Michigan in the States, and they couldn't come with stuff, all that stuff. Yeah. So he wasn't really motivated to play. If he ends up sucking, then it's a terrible trade, obviously, because Matheson was a really good defenseman. But Matheson also has a pretty bad contract as well, just like Petrie. So I don't think it's a terrible trade if Petrie can get back to what he was before.
Yeah, I think that's what Ron Hextall is hoping for with that trade. Like, obviously, the John Marino trade just happened a couple hours ago before, like, right when we were recording this podcast, and now Jeff Petrie comes down the grapevine to Pittsburgh. I still don't know what Ron Hextall is really doing. No one does. But this trade is kind of, I wouldn't really say mind-boggling. Like, they got Jeff Petrie and Ryan Poehling back, but in exchange they send Mike Matheson. Like, now that they got Ty Smith in there alongside now Jeff Petrie and then Chris Letang, I do like the Jeff Petrie fit in a way, but I still don't know what Ron Hextall's doing. Obviously, now that we'll get off the goalie topic, obviously there's still some big names out there. Nazem Kadri, John Klingberg, Nino Niederreiter as well. So let's just hear it. Where's Nazem Kadri going?
So this is weird. I did some cap friendly research, I guess. Yeah. teams with a 7 million plus are Anaheim, Arizona, Buffalo, Calgary, Dallas, Detroit, Nashville, New Jersey, New York Islanders, Ottawa, San Jose, Seattle, Winnipeg. That's not a very appealing list if you're Nazem Kadri. So I don't know where he's going to go. I did see a tweet by Peter Bogg. I can't remember his name. that teams are trying to clear cap space for Nazem Kadri. So I honestly don't think he'll be any one of these teams. So it's still a wild card up in the air.
Yeah, what about you, Panos?
Yeah, I've seen reports that he is ruling out all teams that are not a contender or not considered a contender. So I think he's either going to stay in Colorado or go to Calgary or the Islanders. Those are my three teams that I'm considering. I was having the Krakens before free agency, but they're not a contender. So,
yeah, I do agree with what you guys said. So it's going to be interesting to see where Nazem Kadri goes. And then obviously the second name I mentioned, John Klingberg. Where do you guys think he's headed?
I've seen reports that Detroit is like the biggest fish on him right now. I could also see the Kraken as well, but they just got Justin Schultz, so I don't think so. I don't really know. It's kind of unpredictable, but I've seen reports of Detroit the most, so probably there.
Yeah, what about you, Kevin?
Yeah, I'll go with Detroit as well. Seems like they have a lot of cap space. I was going to say maybe Dallas circles back in on him as they have the cap and a very weak right side, but Not too sure.
Yeah, I don't think he returns to Dallas. Obviously, being a Flames fan, we all saw what happened on Twitter. He followed a bunch of Flames players on Instagram, so
it won't
that could be an interesting place. It won't happen, yeah, pretty much. Yeah, so I do think he's going to go to Detroit. There's no other place that I think he does fit, apart from like maybe the Kraken, even though I don't think how that's going to work. But yeah, I think it's a wide consensus that he might be going to Detroit. So then the third name I mentioned, Nino Niederreiter. That's another weird name that I don't know where he's going. So let's hear it. Let's hear where Nino Niederreiter is going.
Absolutely no clue. I'm just going to go with Nashville just because it seems like a place for Nino Niederreiter. Yes, I don't know. I have no clue. I really don't know.
Yeah, what about you, Kevin? Let's hear it.
Welcome to, I don't know, I'll pick a random team. Welcome to Buffalo. You know, Niederreiter? I don't know. Like, I have not a clue. Like, that was not an educated guess. I'm just throwing out a random team.
I don't know. I don't even know. I'm just going to stay quiet and just move on to the next topic.
Can we stay on quickly? I have some more comments about this free agency class.
Yeah, go ahead.
This free agency class, in my opinion, was filled with lots of contracts that are going to look pretty bad. Like, I don't know. There's just so many contracts here that you want to avoid. Like, in my opinion, Andre Palat, 5 years, $6 million is not a good deal. Ben Chiarot, 4 years, 4.75. Eric Goodbranson, 4x4. Vincent Trocheck, 7x5.625. There's just a lot of contracts here that I feel like GMs don't ever learn. They never learn. Yeah. These are going to be, there are going to be so many poorly aging contracts here.
Yeah, like even if you add Ilya Mikheyev to the list, I still think that's one of the weirdest signings I've ever seen from the Canucks in a while. Kind of did think the Jim Benning era was back a little with that signing. But yeah, free agency this year was all over the place. Obviously, with the big names just flying off the list. Not really flying. There's still Nazem Kadri there, but guys like Johnny Gaudreau, even some goalies like Jack Campbell, Darcy Kemper off the list. There's really nothing left per se. Like if you're a team looking to add a big name piece apart from Nazem Kadri, there's pretty much nothing left.
Yep.
Yeah. And then obviously there were two pretty big trades on free agency day. Brent Burns off to Carolina and Max Pacioretty as well off to Carolina. So what do you guys think of those deals? What is Carolina doing and are they in a good position right now?
Yeah, they are. And my biggest criticism for them has always been they kind of just have like a mediocre, like a good roster, but it's always been like just mediocre. Like you look at it and you go, that's not a cup contender. And then they add Max Pacioretty, Brent Burns, and Dylan Coughlin for a third round pick, and that's it, right? That's all they really gave up. So they look really good to me now. Obviously, Pacioretty's a top 15 winger when he's healthy. Yeah. And Brent Burns, while he's regressed obviously from his prime, he's still really good if he doesn't have to play 25 minutes a night, which hopefully he won't have to in Carolina. But even if he does, he's playing with Jacob Slavin now. When in San Jose, he was playing with, like, I think Mario Ferraro, who's good, but, like, he's not as good as Steven, but he's good. But, yeah, so I think I have Carolina as a conference final appearance for my way too early predictions right now. So I think they're going to make the conference finals, and they could even win the cup this year. They look really good.
Yeah, what about you, Kevin?
Same boat that you just added a, like Pano said, a top 15 when he's healthy, top 15 goal scorer, and a former Norris Trophy winning defenseman. So, obviously, like Pano said, he's regressed a little bit, but he's still pretty good. So two huge additions for such a low cost. Well, not in terms of cap hit, but in terms of assets.
Yeah.
Very, very good deals.
Yeah. Those are the trades that happen. I'm in the same boat as you two gents. To kind of end things off, let's hear your best signings and then one name that is the worst signing that you think will not pan out with the team they're on. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. So my best signing was probably Brett Kulak, the 4-year deal in Edmonton, I think 2.7, I think it was. He's a really solid defenseman. He's from Edmonton or around that area, so he wanted to be like an Oiler as well. And he's always been underrated to me ever since that bubble playoff year where he just shut down Crosby and Gensel and everyone in the Penguin series. I've always liked him since then. So I think to get him locked up now long term is clutch for Edmonton, whose defensive core is kind of like bad.
Yeah.
And then my worst signing, I'm going to go with Eric Goodbranson. Just why are you? I'm not really sure why you give Eric Goodbranson a four-year deal at $4 million per. He's good. He was good this year, at least. He's usually been bad in his career, but he was good this year with Calgary. But he's not.
That was under Daryl Sutter, though.
Yeah, exactly. Now he's playing with Brad Larson, who's not one of the best coaches in the NHL. But yeah. That's my best and worst there.
Yeah. What about you, Kevin?
I think those are probably the two obvious answers. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with something different. I'll go best contract, Claude Giroux. I think that's such a huge addition to a young Sens top six.
Mm-hmm.
And my worst contract, I will go with also different. I'll go with Ryan Strome signing with Anaheim on a 5-year, $5 million AAV deal.
Yeah, my best signing, I think it just happened yesterday, even though the term is kind of mind-boggling, I think. Cali Yarncroke going to Toronto at that deal for the bottom six that Toronto's trying to create, so I think that's a very good fit for Toronto, solid deal. And then my worst signing, I mentioned it like a couple of minutes ago, Ilya Mikheyev to the Vancouver Canucks. Like, what the hell are they doing?
Why do you hate that one so much?
I don't like Ilya Mikheyev as a player. I didn't like him when he was in Toronto. I don't think he's as good as Maple Leafs fans made him out to be. I didn't believe in the hype, and I still don't believe in the hype. And he's off to the Canucks, who are... I don't know what they're gonna do with him. He's gonna be in their bottom six, as Kuzmenko was promised a top six role. So yeah, that's my answer to hating Ilya Mikheyev.
That's interesting, because I think he's a way more effective player than Ryan Strome is. obviously, lots of speed. I think he'll contribute nicely to that middle six. But yeah, you're probably right. It's definitely a bit of an overpay. But you especially don't like that one, eh?
Yeah, I don't. I don't just like yeah. it's just like your relationship with goalies.
Yeah.
So
no. Yeah, that. Fair enough. we definitely have time to talk about one more topic. Is Chuck Fletcher the worst GM in the league? And I say yes, easily.
Yeah, that it's a consensus. Like, if you look at what that team currently is, trading for Tony DeAngelo, signing him to that deal, and then Johnny Gaudreau wanting to sign with the Flyers and you not creating cap space to make that work,
right?
And then pretending like you tried, like, what are you doing? Like, your team's not going to do anything down the road. You don't have any good players at the moment. Like, Sean Couturier, sure, but what is your team doing? Carter Hart off season again. Like, what is this Philadelphia Flyer team doing, and how are people still believing in Chuck Fletcher in that Philadelphia Flyers organization?
In the organization, maybe, yeah, but their fan base, not at all. It's just it's mind-boggling to me how a 115 points, he wants to go to your team and you don't create room for him. You don't want to give up a first and JVR to create room for a superstar. That absolutely makes no sense
to
me.
Your team's not going anywhere. Might as well trade that first and get Johnny Gaudreau. Like, what is Chuck Fletcher waiting for? That, like, what is he going to strike the gold mine with? Nothing. He has nothing left to even, like, what is his prospect pool? It's not anything special at the moment. Like, not really.
And just one last thought there. I don't understand how they think it's a better investment to have Rasmus Ristolainen, Tony DeAngelo, and JVR for a combined like $17 million, right? They think that's a better investment than Johnny Gaudreau. Like, their highest paid player too, or their second highest paid player is Kevin Hayes. I guess he had a tough year, so we can't really rip on him too much. So hopefully he bounces back this year. But my point is that they just have a lot of mid-range contracts that they think are a better investment than Johnny Gaudreau. Even Ivan Provorov, $6.75 million. The build of their team makes absolutely no sense. And Chuck Fletcher needs to get out of there. He needs to.
Yeah, if the or if Flyers organization has a brain and they want to make it work, I think they should fire Chuck Fletcher before it's too late and your team implodes in front of your faces. Even if you look at, like, that team has a bunch of players that are coasting along. Like, that team, I don't, like, even, let's just, like, predict next season. Like, what are they really going to do? They're in the Metro. Obviously, Columbus got stronger with Johnny Gaudreau. And then every other team got stronger in that division, apart from them. Like, what did they add? Tony DeAngelo? That's pretty much it. Like, what are they going to do?
Yeah, Panos, take it away. What do you think?
Yeah, he is. He's. I said in the last episode, too, he's a horrific GM. He's really bad. Like, but I do have to say one thing. I don't think they should have given a first-round pick to get rid of JVR unless it was, like, a top 10 or top 15. No, top 10 protected would be
good. But you're getting Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're going to be so bad next year. They might be in contention for Bedard, though. That's the thing.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Okay, that's completely fair, but
yeah.
I don't think they'll be worse than Arizona. Or.
Yeah, if it's a low-end top 10 pick, like, if it was 9th, 8th overall, something like that, I would do it. But, like, the thing is, I think they might be so bad, they're going to be in contention for, like, a top
that's
5
true.
Pick.
That's true. Yeah, I guess if it was protected, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it was protected, I would have done it 100%. Give up, a lottery pick that's in the 11 to 15 range. Johnny Gaudreau, like, who cares?
Yeah,
but that's true. Just the first overall chance of that pick, just I wouldn't help.
Yeah, even on this topic, I totally forgot to mention this. The Blackhawks, they signed Athanasiou and Max Domi. Like, what is that team doing as well? Like,
trade deadline.
Why? Exactly. Pieces. Yeah, I totally forgot about that now that you mention it. But even then, like, what do Max Domi and Andreas Athanasiou even expect signing with the Chicago Blackhawks? Like, what are they doing?
They probably got offered the most money there. Because, like, who's giving Athanasiou $3 million?
Yeah, exactly. But even
the thing
then,
is, like, they just suck. Chicago just sucks. Like,
yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, Philadelphia, they're a weird team to even predict at the moment. That, you know, they're going to be bad, but how bad are they going to be? That's really the question. And then, obviously, there's several other teams on that list of how bad can they be. So I still think Chuck Fletcher needs to go in Philly if they want a living chance at even having a good team down the road. Is there a consensus? Yeah.
Especially if they're about to enter a rebuild probably too. Like, after they suck this year, they're going to realize they need to enter a rebuild. And you can't enter the rebuild with Chuck Fletcher as your GM. They definitely have to fire him after this year. Because I know they will, because they're going to suck again and he'll get fired. So it won't really matter. But,
like, it definitely doesn't make sense for them to add Johnny Gaudreau, but it's just so hard to pass up that opportunity when he specifically wants that team, you know?
Yeah.
So exactly. It's just a tough situation there, but yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty much the episode there. Puck Empire Podcast number 2, recapping free agency for you guys. Obviously interesting time in the NHL, a lot of new faces and new places. Shake up around the league. So, Panos, I'll let you end it again. Let's hear it.
Yeah, we're gonna come up with a new episode probably next week, and be some more signings. We'll probably be talking about Kadri and Klingberg at that point. And yeah, that's basically it. It's a good episode. Talked about the entire free agency, and
look forward to some guests maybe down the road. That'll be fun. Kevin, let's hear your thoughts before we wrap it up.
Just good to recap free agency, talk about some trades, talk about the Philadelphia Flyers.
And your goalie love, right?
And my goalie love. So lots of exciting episodes coming in the future, and probably one next week, eh?
Yeah. Panos, I'll let you end it now. Let's hear that outro.
I'll see you guys next one, I guess. I don't know.